Okay, I'm going to bring us into a little worship of God, and then I'm going to follow it by praying for Israel. But first, the Lord had asked me to, and I think it's going to confirm what Ricky's spent the last almost hour to share with us. I just love that when it happens. But here we go. The Bible teaches us to worship God in spirit and in truth. And I want to make my next statement very clear, very plain through the scripture. First of all, I want to share with you what prayer or worship in spirit is not. Paul wrote in Romans 1:26 and on, "For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which was unseemly, and receiving in themselves the recompense of their error, which was meat. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind, to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness." And I want to stop here, because if you study books like James, Peter, you're going to find that the Bible actually says that, let me come back to the scripture. He gave them over to a reprobate mind. No. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness. The truth is, covetousness does not lead to murder. The truth is, covetousness is, in the eyes of God, the spirit of murder. So we may think if we haven't killed anyone that we're not doing so bad, but you'd be amazed at how many things tie us right in to the worst of the worst of crimes against God. Maliciousness, full of envy. Jealousy is also the spirit of murder. So if you are covetous, and if you have a jealous heart, it is the spirit of murder in the eyes of God. Debate, deceit, malignity, whispers. Have you ever known anyone that just loves to debate? Anyone that has been in higher levels of learning and has attended or been a part of debate teams, you know what it's talking about here. Someone that doesn't want to receive truth, but wants to debate over everything. That's not pleasing to the Lord, because if we don't receive truth, it can't change us. It can't protect us. It can't lead us in the way of righteousness. And if we debate truth, we're not believing it. Deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents. Some people believe that this is only talking to children about their relationship with their parents. But when Jesus talked about disobedience or lack of submission to parents, if you look it up in context, he is talking to adults and the way these adults treated their parents. God doesn't like it. Why? Because when we don't treat our parents right, we are walking in the sin of pride, arrogance, rebellion, and so on. Because the parents represent God's authority in the family unit. So it's very important that we walk by our parents. Now, I know some parents are not Christians and want to convince you it's okay to live the way they want you to live. Now, if the way they're living supersedes truth, you don't go that way. But if they're Christian parents and what they're giving you is based on truth, God will bless you for submission to that. Backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, vendors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers. There you go again with the lying. Without natural affection, implacable. In other words, you can't be convinced. Unmerciful, who knowing that the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them to do them. That is what worshiping the Lord in spirit and truth is not. If you live according to the things that Ricky shared today and the first chapter of Romans here, you can walk away from living this sort of lifestyle long enough to go to church on Sunday and sing songs to Jesus, sing hymns to Jesus, and the Lord doesn't listen to it. He doesn't listen to it. He doesn't listen to it. Why? Because you're not worshiping him in truth, let alone in his spirit. So he's looking for people who will worship him in spirit and in truth. Jesus came to bear witness of what? Truth. And if we look at him, if we walk with him, we must walk with him in truth. People will talk to me about union. They want to live the way they want to live. They're not interested in the tight path of union. They want to keep doing what they do to satisfy their flesh and then come back to me and complain because God's not taking them into union. And I keep trying to tell them, you wouldn't want to be in union with God the way you're living your life, because in order to walk in union with Jesus, you have to live like Jesus. You have to be like Jesus. You can't live the life of sin and even bear to have him in you, pulling you, prompting you, provoking you to try to do what's righteous. Your insides would be in constant frustration, constant tearing, one against the other, the flesh against the spirit. Paul talked about that, didn't he? So he won't even bother with you until you decide to put especially the big sins down. One more thing and then I'm going to move on. There is a ministry, I'm not going to say whose ministry it is, but the head of that ministry learned a little over a decade ago that a particular sin was going on in the ministry. He talked to the people involved, you know, and said, cut it out. But he didn't lay down the ground rules. And so before long, these people that were committing these sins against women and against children, in a little more than a decade, those that were being violated by this group of people grew to over 300 women, and we don't know yet how many children, but a lot of children. The head of the ministry did not commit sin. It made him sick to his stomach that this stuff could be going on. But he corrected them and wanted to believe that they would turn from their sin. And because this kind of sin is wrapped up in the spirit of corruption and in the spirit of bitterness, in the spirit of bitterness, the Bible tells us that engaging in this sin comes out of bitterness, and that in being in bitterness, if the embittered person or the jealous person stays within the group, that the sins stemming from those two things will spread like cancer throughout. And that's what has happened to this ministry that I'm sharing with you on. It breaks my heart because I know this person. You'll never convince me that his heart is not pure, ever. He would have to tell me, no, I failed too, or I wouldn't believe it. But he trusted people he shouldn't have trusted. And now it's literally eating his ministry alive. My heart breaks for him. My heart also breaks for the women. My heart also breaks for the children that have been violated under his care. That is not the way of worshiping God in spirit. You cannot do that on Monday and turn around on Sunday, go to church, and expect God to treat you like a favored son. He's not going to do it. You can't go out and sin in any of these ways on a regular basis. Even if you repent, repentance means to change your direction, to change your perception. It doesn't mean, oh, I'm sorry, Lord, I'm sorry. And then you go out and do it again. There has to be a change of heart. So you can't go out on, say, Wednesday and do a no-no, and then go back to church on Sunday and expect God to wrap his big old arms around you and say, oh, it's okay. It's okay. I understand your heart. It's not going to happen. So he is calling us to the higher realms of worship, which means to worship him not with all this junk and gunk in our hearts and in our activities, but to worship him in the purity of the divine spirit. Now, when we do that, God does open his arms. He wants to welcome you, to be dear to him, to walk closely with him for his character and his nature, to reach out and engulf you in your efforts to live a godly life. And the more you continue living godliness, the stronger you will get against sin, and the greater will be your receptivity by the Lord. So to worship God only means to worship him in spirit and in truth. It's what he demands. If you're going to love him, you do it on his gang plan, you might say, not your own. I think I'm just amazed that the Lord spoke to both of us to share this little bit. Who knows what he's got in mind? But I do know this, that if we have people that we love, people that are close to us, and we know they're in sin, you just can't pat them on the back and say, no, it'll be better, it'll get better. Because until that person decides, I'm not going to live like that anymore, it won't get better. And if they say, well, God, I've been praying that God would get me out of this sin, that's not what the Bible tells us to do. The Bible says, come and repent. It isn't up to God to, you know, put a rope around our necks and make us quit sinning. He wants us to live according to his righteousness, and he will bless us like you cannot imagine. So I want to worship him a little bit in spirit. I want to invite you to join me, and then I'm going to pray for Israel. Israel, incidentally, is a prime example of what happens when we choose not to live according to the righteousness of God. No one needs to point fingers at Israel. They're doing what carnal people do. But the church must rise above these things. Amen. Lord, great are your ways. Great is your mercy. There is none like you, Lord. You reach out your hand. You beckon us to come and to hide under your wing from the devil that wants us to destroy us. So we stand here together, each one of us, and we say to you, Father, please forgive us of these things that we have not yet overcome in, and convict our hearts with your conviction of love, that we fear sinning against you in these ways, that the fear of God will be in our hearts and upon us, Lord, not to sin in these ways against you. People in particular in the ministry, because Father, we know and we understand your word says it just like it is. You're not playing word games. You just come right out and say it, that those who are teachers and people who are in the ministry are judged by a much higher scale than those who are not. So we want to walk according to your will. We don't want to put ourselves on the platform as though we are so great, so wise, so all knowledgeable about you, and then turn and sin against you. And we understand and realize that when we do that, we are judged by a much higher standard. And Lord, there's many more sins, not just these. Those Ricky mentioned, these, and even more that you warn us against. We forget that the devil wants to destroy Christians, and that he is roaming around like a roaring lion, seeking him or her whom he may destroy. He's not coming to you to give you a great big day of fun. He's coming to destroy your child, Lord. But you are the great Almighty God. You are the true Almighty God. You are love incarnate. You are purity. You are righteousness. You are holiness. You are Father. You are Mother. You are Friend. You are Deliverer. And the many, many other things that your word teaches us about. Jehovah Shammah, Lord, you're all of it. And you reach out your loving hand, come, draw near to me. Let me put my arms around you and let me hide you under my wing. But don't go the way of Balaam. Don't go the way of Christians that think that they can sin all day, any day. And then on Sunday, they expect that they're going to be treated like a dutiful Christian. They don't understand, Father, that even in your wonderful goodness, that if they live for the world, they can't live for you. They can't do both. They're not capable of it. No one is. It's either you or it's the world. Goodness, grace, mercy, kindness, goodness, oh Lord, and so many, many more. You are all of these. And because you are who you are, you want this to be the relationship, the basis of relationship, and righteousness and holiness between you and every one of your children. And we thank you for that, Father, because your goodness through and through. Goodness through and through. And you are truth. Oh, that we could have a heart that would love truth the way Moses did. He too was a man. But he chose truth over the things of the world. Jesus came and he bore every infirmity, that he might overcome and grant us that overcoming power in his name. Because he is goodness through and through. You teach us how to walk with you. We give you praise for that. We thank you for it. You teach us how to walk with you, how to talk with you, how to love you more every day, if we will learn to put down our stubborn hearts and walk with the glorious Savior of the world. And we thank you. We thank you for the privilege of worshiping you in spirit and in truth. And Father, before I leave this place again, I thank you that you have plans for Israel, plans no one knows but you, to save my people. And are they the supreme beauty of holiness? No, just the opposite. And this is why they're in the trouble they're in right now, because they're trying to fight their own battles with a heart that is given to the world. So I pray that your spirit will be poured out on them, even this night and tomorrow. Save those who will be saved. Bring an end to this terrible, terrible war that's going on. And save all of Israel, Lord. Save those who will be saved to satisfy your own heart, your own glory, your kindness and your mercy, Lord. And we give you praise. Amen.